episode 4, code switching.
Code switching.
We discussed the fact that we went to Bawley Bawlerson. Mm-hmm. I hope everyone likes our pictures and it actually represents us.
You better. The pictures are hot. What?
The pictures are hot. The pictures are hot. And not being funny. You in that metallic disco
it's
dress.
Me,
innit?
Come on.
It's a bit of me.
Do you know what? It's so funny. My sister, she's hella rude. Mm. So she saw the pictures and she was like, look, look, what is this? Like, look at how you look when you make an effort. Every other day, 364 days of the year, you look basically like trash. But look how you can look when you make an effort. This is what she was saying to me.
Yeah.
My younger sister. She's like, you better just take a long, hard look at yourself in the mirror because you're not doing what you need to do right now.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. I mean, in terms of being positive mm-hmm. and possibly being motivational, she came from a place of love.
Okay, but it wasn't delivered
in
the best way.
No.
Like, yeah.
The delivery needed to...
Need some work.
Sister, Gemma's sister, I call her Yacht Life. Yacht Life, you need to work on the delivery.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
There's a time and a place. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
And a place and a time.
Thank you, Sarila.
And words that you should, like, say.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And possibly just think of how the words come out.
Yeah. Tell her. Yeah, she didn't deliver a message in the right way, but I'll tell her about herself a bit later on.
Okay, but are you going to make more of an effort because of what she said?
I might have to give it a little thought. I was scrolling social media, as I do, and I can't remember whether this was on TikTok. It probably wasn't. It was probably on Instagram that I saw a TikTok or a reel, and it was a funny sketch. Somebody was sat working from home on a video call with their boss, and then their boss had asked them to do something, and they responded, "Bet." And this was an American video. So
responded what?
Bet. So bet.
Bet.
Bet. As in B-E-T. As in B-E-T. Bet. As in like, well, okay. Not as in place a bet, but the place a bet. Bet. So boss asked somebody to do something. She was like not really thinking and just answered bet. So I didn't understand what bet meant because bet is not UK lingo that I'm familiar
with. No, I don't understand that. Right. I'm usually down with the American stuff.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you that bet means like cool. It's just another way of saying cool or yeah, that's good or something like that. So she responded bet. And then she clocked that she'd responded bet and she realized she wasn't talking to her pal. She was talking to her boss. And she was like, I mean, yes, that's fine. Of course. Yes, I'll get up right on that. And it was just so interesting because it made me think about the times when I have kind of dropped the mask, as it were, and kind of let out a little bit of slang or dropped a couple of T's or something in the workplace. And like, why is that such a big deal for us? Like, I so I thought it'd be great to have a little bit of a chat about that. So
code switching.
So for those of you who don't know, it's called code switching. And code switching originally was a term coined by some researchers who were looking at people who were either bilingual or multilingual, and they were able to switch between languages. So if my parents had bothered to teach me my language, I would be able to code switch, for example. But as they didn't, I just speak English. So it was originally meant to be used around that whole language thing. But now what it is about when people feel that they need to change the way that they speak, so their dialect, their accent or their behaviour or their look in order to assimilate into a particular space, usually the workplace. So they would talk one way, behave one way outside of work, come into work and behave a totally different way so that they fit in, and then go home and like just let those T's drop a little bit and say bet when they need to. So that's code switching. So Sarita, does that resonate with you at all? Tell me.
I mean, do you know what? It's funny because I, again, you know, I like watching social media and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember their names. Something in Pele. There's these two comedians, two black comedians.
What?
Something in Pele. I can't remember their names, but they were on SNL.
Oh. Jordan Peele. Jordan yeah. Peele and his partner. Yes. I know exactly who you mean, but I'm going to have to look it up because it's going to do my head in.
Yeah, so whilst you're looking it up, mm-hmm. there was a skit that they did, and it was when Obama was in office.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them, he was very good at imitating Obama. And there was a whole line. Yes, that's it. Right. Not Jordan.
Keegan, Michael Key, and Jordan Peele.
Yes. There was like, he was pretending to be Obama, and in the people that he was meeting, like a little whole line would be like, yes, shaking the hands of the white people and being like, yes. And then when he got to a black person, he was like fist bumping yeah. and like, yeah, give me a hug. And like, and I kind of, it's the way I see it, it's not like a racial thing where mm-hmm. you're trying to exclude people.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like that. It's just, when you know you're around family,
mm.
you can kind of relax a bit.
Yeah.
It's not, I guess, playing up to something. It's just being a bit more relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what? That's it. You don't feel like you have to be anyone but yourself because they will understand.
Yeah.
And there's that level of like understanding, even if we're not related, but it's just that black thing. It's just like, hey, cool. Yeah. You probably watched what I watched. You kind of understand a bit what I understand.
Yeah.
And it is, it's like that tiny bit of understanding, and it's not necessary. I think in terms of code switching, it can be present in so many things. Mm-hmm. So if you were a female on like a whole workspace of men,
mm-hmm.
if you met another female, mm-hmm. you'd feel that little bit more comfortable because there's that little bit more understanding. Mm-hmm. So it'd be like, hey, you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like that. So in terms of me code switching, do you know what? I think because of the spaces that I go in,
it's not as relevant, is it? Do you reckon it's not as relevant for you?
I say it is.
Do you reckon?
No, I think it is. Yeah. So, do you know what? Sometimes I'll do the opposite.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean?
Sometimes I like to do the opposite, to shake up the branches and the trees.
Okay.
So if pretend to be somebody you're not. No, not necessarily. So in spaces where maybe I should code switch
mm-hmm.
and probably try to fit in in those spaces when it's like completely ridiculous, I'll do the opposite and I will go over and beyond being me.
Okay.
So if we've gone to like a posh restaurant let me give you an example. Because I'm dithering here. I've had a few drinks. Right. So, you know, my normal lash lady, mm-hmm. in a blink.
Yeah.
A little ad. In a blink, lash. She's had a baby, so she's on maternity leave.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. My lash lady's on maternity leave. Therefore, I've had to find someone else. I've found a very, very nice, it's a bit bougie. Mm-hmm. It's a bit la-di-da.
Okay.
Placing where I live to do lashes, and it's like a beauty salon, but it's very quiet. It's very like, prim and proper.
Have you booked an appointment?
Go in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I booked an appointment, mm-hmm. and I it's a bit more expensive right. than the places that other people go to get their lashes.
Okey-dokes.
But I want the best.
Oh, why not?
Babes, I rocked up, being loud, in my boots, in my colourful gear, being me, my green hair. Yeah. I probably didn't even brush it properly. And I was like, you're right, babes! Yeah, I'm shouting.
And what did she say?
You know
what?
Most nothing, because I'm a paying customer. Oh, if right. I'm a paying customer, they can't tell me nothing.
Yeah.
But I guess most people maybe would have toned it down.
Yeah.
Maybe coming would have gone in and been like, yeah. hello. And mm-hmm. so, yeah, I think, do you know what? The older I get, the less fucks I give.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if, well, blatantly, if I'm paying, I'm going to be me. I'm not going to try to be someone I'm not or try to fit in. Mm.
I'm with you.
I guess I haven't really done it a lot. Do you know what? The only time I've actually proper done it, pubs.
Oh, how?
You've been to a pub.
I go to pubs, not on a regular, but yeah, you know what I mean. I've been at pubs.
I never was really a pub person. Mm-hmm. The only time I ever went to a pub was when I started dating my now husband.
Okay.
Who is white, shock horror, to people that don't know. So I have a white husband. And I think it's a cultural thing. I didn't really understand pubs. So where I lived in London, when you walk past a pub, it wasn't people you knew. And it was always white people in London in a pub.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was always like kind of way football guys mm-hmm. or kind of East End kind of white people. So it was just a place where people like me just didn't go.
Yeah.
We didn't go. We walked past.
Yeah. Ran past.
Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Across the road. Yeah.
So then when I met my husband, it was a case like, no, pubs are actually like a nice family thing. You go there for dinner. Mm-hmm. You can go there for like to watch football, obviously, mm-hmm. but not necessarily football.
Yeah. Just a quick catch things. Up, like an after work drink.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And locals where you meet people that are like you. Mm-hmm. So it's not just like rowdy.
Yeah.
It's just like a nice place where some people go and everybody knows your name.
Yeah. where have I heard that before?
So, yeah. Mm. I don't know. I might have ripped it off from somewhere. But in terms of me, yeah.
So code switching in pubs then. What were you doing what do you do in pubs?
Just a bit. Do you know what? I think it's more a case of not trying to fit in. It's just a case of me toning it down so I feel a bit more safe.
Okay.
So I guess I'm not drawing attention to myself if I'm acting a bit different to the normal folk in there.
So what do you think is going to happen if you draw attention to yourself in a pub?
Well, I guess they would all realise that I was black, see? And ask me what I'm doing there. I don't know. It's just that, I guess for me, code switching just means slipping into spaces and not kind of drawing attention to myself.
Yeah.
And I think in some spaces, black people, including me, are a bit louder.
Mm-hmm.
Are a bit louder, are a bit more colourful. So if you're that and it's a bit different, you're going to draw attention to yourself.
Mm.
And sometimes I don't want any attention. And that's the other thing as well. I just want to, even though if I've got the brightest colour hair, the brightest colour clothes, the loudest laugh, the loudest personality, that's just normal to me.
Mm.
And I don't want necessarily people discussing that or saying, oh. If I'm amongst my people, we don't talk about that.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. You're not doing it for a reason. You're just doing it because that's just you. That's how you operate.
Right. And people like me understand that and they're not thinking it's a bit different or a bit out of the norm.
Mm. Yeah.
What about you? Because obviously, not everybody knows that of our work backgrounds. You're more of a professional in the corporate world. Yeah. I'm assuming you've had to do that in the corporate world.
Yeah. But it's similar to you, actually. I'm listening to what you're saying, and I feel I did do it a lot more when I was younger, and I gave a bit more of a damn. Now I'm doing it less. So back in the day, if I went into work, I would feel that I couldn't use slang, for example. Mm. I would try to talk as well as I could. So I'm North Londoner. Right. And North, like this is, if I really just dropped everything, every single pretension that I have right now, then I'd be talking like this. Like, I'd just really just like, and this is, yeah, this is how I'd be talking. If I really relaxed down and started talking,
right, guy.
I would, but I don't do stuff like that. Like, I'm not like a
skinny,
yeah, get me. Yeah, I don't do that. But I just don't talk as proper as I could talk. As some people do talk. And I know many people who do come into the workplaces that I work in and they talk like this. And I understand why they do it. They want to be taken seriously. They want that credibility. And talking like this gets you that. But there's only so long that you can maintain that, that you will. If you outside of work, I think, talk in a way that I would usually talk, at some point it's going to drop. And you're going to say something and it's going to be more obvious because you talk so differently the rest of the time. So I spent ages trying to show I'm as good as any other person. I'm as good as any other white person that's in my office. So I can match them intellectually. I can perform as well as them. I can perform sometimes even better than them. So I realized I didn't need to keep up that pretense, and I started relaxing into myself a lot more, and there weren't any repercussions for me. So I realized that I could be more and more myself, and it was fine. So now I'll be talking to people, and I keep saying drop a T, but that is the kind of thing that I might do, and it's fine. And it's okay. And now I think the environment is such that people are being encouraged to be their authentic selves more and more and more. And I'm hoping that people feel that they don't need to code switch as much to get ahead. I know that people will continue to do it, but I just really hope that people understand that you don't have to, that they see enough people like me, not bigging myself up that much, but like me and people, other people who do as I do and just try to come and bring their authentic selves to work and feel that they can do the same, especially the young ones coming up. Like I would hate for anyone to feel they have to come into work and start talking like the Queen's niece in order to be taken seriously. But so I'm much more comfortable now with just bringing myself to work and talking about, you know, I was raised in Edmonton and what? Like, I didn't grow up in
Edmonton.
I don't know. I can't even think of a posh place, but Hertfordshire, say.
I was going to say, Edmonton's quite posh, isn't it?
No.
It sounds posh. Does it?
Edmonton. No, it's not posh. It's right next door to Tottenham. And Tottenham, I think, is even on the up compared to Edmonton. But it's all good.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's something that I'm hoping I do less and less. I might do it and I don't even know I'm doing it, to be quite honest. I probably do. When I meet new people, say, at school, so school parents... Like, so my eldest is now in secondary school. She's in year 8, and I do from time to time meet some of the other kids' parents, and I don't think I would meet them on day one and be like, oh yeah, you're right, yeah, how are you doing, I don't think I'd.
I
don't talk like that because I'm conscious. Well, do you know what, now I'm thinking, am I just code switching all day long and I'm just confused and I'm just thinking that I don't, and I do, and it's just so natural, it's become a part of me that I just do it automatically. But I think that I turn it on a little bit when I'm meeting new people, and then I get comfortable with them and then I drop it. That's what I think I do.
Okay.
But if okay. I was to talk to my sister, for example, if we were to properly just like be chatting and talking about stuff that we usually talk about, it would be proper North London.
But is that a black thing or is that a familiar thing?
I don't think it's a black thing.
Mm. Oh.
I don't know.
So it's not a racial thing?
I don't know. It doesn't need to be, because there are people like social mobility. Let's talk about that, right? There's people Ooh. Who have come from, I guess they haven't come from as privileged a background as other people. And mm-hmm. they've grown up in an area that isn't as affluent as some other people. And they will talk a certain way, whether they're black or white. And then they go mm-hmm. into the workplace, and to feel that they are taken seriously, they need to switch up the way they talk. They need to talk with a little bit more of a plum in their mouth. And
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So and that's not a black or white thing. That is just I want to be taken seriously. Look at me. I know what I'm talking about. I know how to talk. So this is me. So
that makes sense. Because you tried to out Danny last week with the whole surname thing, and I said that's not my story to tell. But I'm going to just pluck a thing from his story that it's not my story to tell. But you're going to tell anyway. Yeah. So, he was, I say he's Northern. He is Northern. You probably wouldn't know because he doesn't let his accent slip. Mm. So he was born and bred up north. And I think when you're from London, north, south divide is very... Oh, just spat everywhere and like dribbling. North, south divide is very different. And if you're abroad or whatever, the accents are very different. Like, if I hear a northern accent, I'm like, whoa! Mm-hmm. Like, wow! Mm. And it's like, isn't it? And all that. And yeah, I can't do anymore because I'm not.
No, don't.
But he would speak like that. But when he went to uni and did his gap year, he totally made a conscious effort to drop
his accent.
It. And adopt this, I guess, what you would say, or I would say, this is the Queen's English, but then it's like that just, that kind of London accent that's how everyone speaks, I guess. And the only time that he sounds Northern is when we go to visit his parents and he'll drop out a couple of things.
Yeah.
And there's some words that he can't say because he can't do the pronunciation. It's really...
What?
Like, so again, like, yeah, I won't say the word that he can't pronounce because it's a swear word. But the whole... It's like bath.
Yeah.
I would say another one, but I can't remember because I'm not Northern. So I do understand. I think there's different levels to code switching, and definitely that north-south divide. And if you are from up north and you come down here to get quote unquote professional job, you're not going to be saying bath and I don't know, whatever else you would say if you were Northern, which is really like...
I've got a friend who's from Leeds and we used to do this.
Path.
Yeah, path.
Vos.
Water.
Water. Yeah. Water and... water.
Water. Water.
Water. I'm just going higher pitch. That's not a difference. Oh, no, it's not.
What are we talking about?
Because we're adults. Hey, babes, I just figured it out. Because we're adults.
Yeah.
And we say water. Babes, we never used to say water. It'd be like water.
Yeah.
Water.
Water.
So there's
water
and water.
Water. Oh,
yes. Man. So that's not a northern thing. That's just pronouncing your T.
Water. Water.
No, I don't.
Water.
We'd have to... It's water. Water.
It's water. Yeah.
Water.
Yeah.
And like my name, Sarita.
Sarita.
And I would say my name's Sarita. It's Sarita.
tutter.
Indeed.
What is it about? Why are Londoners so anti-tea?
So lazy. It's laziness.
Do you reckon it's just laziness?
Water. It must take a little bit more, more effort.
Sarita.
To add the tea in.
Butter.
Something about the muscles that you're using to make that tea sound. Making that up. I don't know. It's true.
So, yeah, I think code switching, I think across the board, there are different types of people that do it. And I don't think it's just necessarily a racial thing.
No.
But I think it's more prevalent, possibly, maybe because we notice it more in terms of blackness.
I think,
because,
yeah.
Again, yeah. We have more slang terms.
Yeah.
We have more... Colloquialisms, like,
and we'll be penalised. To be fair, we will be penalised more for you for bringing that language into the workplace.
Yes.
But if you bring in Cockney slang, that's all good.
Yeah.
But then as soon as you start bringing in inverted commas, urban slang, then that's where you've got a problem.
Because let's be honest, East London slang, white people understand East London slang. Mm. If they don't know anyone, they watch on EastEnders. Unfortunately, if you don't know any black people and they're saying words, you're never going to hear it.
Hello, my name is Charlene Sandy. I'm a London-based textile designer and workshop facilitator. My practice is based around natural dyeing and sustainability, where I create beautifully hand-dyed sweatshirts and other accessories. You can find me on Instagram at charlene.sandy or via my website www.charlenesandy.co.uk and sign up for my newsletter. Thanks.
In terms of Black Lives in Music, a Black Lives in Music study found that 63% of Black music creators had experienced direct or indirect racism, including explicit language, explicit racist language, or different treatment because of their race or ethnicity. Mm. And 67% had witnessed such behavior. Racial microaggressions were rife, experienced by 71% of Black music creators and witnessed by 73%. So that those figures are quite high, babes. Especially in a field that I guess we're expected to be.
Exactly. No? Do you know what? It's so interesting because I would have thought in like music, most Black music is going to be, and I'm generalising, but like rap, hip-hop, R&B, soul or whatever, where you would traditionally expect to find people who would talk the stereotypically Black way or act the stereotypically Black way. Not that I know that what this Black way is, but the way that music companies would expect Black people would like to market Black people as acting. So to find that they are still facing such extreme levels of racism, even though that is what the music or the record labels are wanting to market, is just like incredible to me. You'd think that that would be the place where Black people would be able to go in and just be themselves and get the credit that they deserve from producing the music that they're producing, but still it's not enough.
You actually brought this to my attention. Mm. I didn't realize, because I don't watch a lot of TV. I do. However, I'm very much into like streaming and watching things on my time and re-watching things because I feel comfortable and it doesn't give me anxiety. So, Tiny Temper, he has a new show.
He does.
However, in terms of code switching, he's recently spoken out about inequalities facing Black artists within the UK music industry, which we were talking about before, but we went on a massive
tangent.
So he said, you're a rapper, so this is your budget and you're Black, but this is a folk artist from Shropshire. They haven't sold as many records as you, but we think they are more viable, so we're going to spend more he told PA Media. So again, unfortunately, we were talking about the whole music industry.
Yeah.
And I do get it to a certain extent because we are in the UK.
Mm.
It's someone that we've never heard of, but they are white. So the media just thinks, you know, they're going to make more money than someone that is a well-known black person. Therefore, out you go. You should have code-switched so we understood you more.
But Tiny is not going to do no code-switching because...
He's not.
Go on.
But it's mad because, in my mind, he's massive.
I think he was massive. I don't know if he's as relevant anymore. Well, maybe I think he's...
But is that because it's to us?
Oh, maybe. Because we're old folks. Is that what you're saying?
Well, no. Well, I can't name a song, but if his music came on...
Yeah.
I know his name.
I know his name.
He's probably got a million mobos in his back garden. Probably. Or whatever,
But, yeah, he's not as hot as he was. But anyway, I think that's been a conscious effort on his part because he's tried to rebrand himself as this property mogul. But going back to what you talked about, like his new show, which isn't about music at all, so maybe he's stepping away from that industry because he realises that there's only a certain level that he can get to. So he's got his new show, Extraordinary Extensions, and I had no idea that he was so into property and he's apparently married to some billionaire's daughter or whatever. But anyway, that's by the by.
I never knew that.
So he's a property investor and he, in as part of this program, what he does is he talks to homeowners and they talk him through their extensions that they've built to their homes. So it's kind of like a Grand Designs, but hosted by Tiny Temper, who knows not a lot about architecture, but it's fine. So it's great. When I first heard about it, I was so excited because like we've got Phil and Kirsty, we've got George Clark who does his shows, we've got that Kevin MacLeod guy who does Grand Designs, and they're all like white middle class people, and then you've got Tiny Temper, and then I watched the show. And it was fine. Like, it was nice to see nice black face, nice Igbo brother, yes.
He's Igbo,
he is Igbo, he is. And I'll never let him go because of that fact. But he was very, very authentic. Like, the shows, the episodes that I've seen, he's been just himself. He hasn't tried to be that architecture expert. He's not tried to use language to rival the design experts. He's just been Tiny Temper talking about your extension, which is really nice. and that's cool. So I respect the fact that he's chosen not to code switch. Like, he literally bowls up to the family who's being interviewed or who's showing off their extension and just has a normal chat with them. And I'm so surprised that Channel 4 put that on primetime television. Really, really surprised.
But it is Channel 4.
It is Channel 4, to be fair.
It's not BBC One.
To be fair.
Not BBC One. And do you know what? So you told me about this show. As I said, I don't really watch TV in real time. I stream and do blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So I did actually watch it. And I think there's only... it's kind of a fairly new programme, right? So there's only been like
episode four or something. Yeah, yeah.
Yes. I watched an episode... I literally read what it was about. And lo and behold, I watched one scene. It happened to be a house that they were doing in Bushy Heath.
Okay.
And I say happened to be because that's near where I grew up as a teenager. Yeah, yeah, you said Hertfordshire. Yeah. So this house that they did up, they did some kind of basement thing. Mm-hmm. They had sheets of glass. They were saying, if it's coming off a truck, it's going to, we can't use it. And these sheets of glass were like £5,000 each.
Ooh.
So So we're talking money. Yep. We're talking about people that do it. It's not just an extension in your garden.
No, it's not.
Like,
it's not.
Oh, yeah. Let's get an extension.
It's a grand design. It is a massive job. Yeah.
It was grand. Mm. And I liked the fact that he was himself. I did think, not being rude, I think he didn't completely let himself be a bit relaxed. I don't know.
But do you think he was still trying to prove himself? Like, he has no credentials as far as design property go. I mean, I know he's got, he owns properties, buys and sells, whatever.
And he said he was, I think at the start of the program, he did his little disclaimer, like, I'm into properties and I've, he's either developed.
He's a property developer.
I think
developer.
He's done his own something.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But he's in that field.
Yeah.
But if someone said to me, Tiny Temper's got a program about extensions and home design, I'd be like, huh, why?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
And I guess it would be going to back to episode 3 of Aim High, like, so what, he bought a house and therefore he's got credentials to be on grad designs now. But everyone's got to start somewhere. And if I got approached by Channel 4 and they would say, what do you do? I'm like, I mean, I make my house really nice. Therefore, I'm an interior designer.
Yeah.
I can do interiors. But no, good on him. I did enjoy it. I don't think he 100% code switched, because I think
he didn't
in terms
at
of
all.
Channel 4.
He didn't.
No. But I think you can do that with Channel 4. Channel 4 give you some leeway. And I think with Channel 4, they want you to be yourself. That's the whole thing.
Yeah.
Whereas BBC, well. We're going to talk about reality TV.
At a later date.
Because as I found out this week, you were on The Weakest Link.
I was.
You were. And I was on, oh my God, I can't remember the name of it. I can't remember the name of it. But it was a really TV show. And me and Danny did Super Scrimpers, Super Savers. Yeah, because we spent far too much money on stuff. And...
did it help you? Yeah. So, did you learn how to manage your money as a result?
See, we're saving this for another episode.
Oh, sorry.
However, yeah. Mrs. Moneypenny, who was the person that helped us.
Yeah.
Because when we were living there, we never thought that we'd be able to afford to buy anywhere. And she did say, you know, you guys, come on, you two. You could, if you just... knew about money, which we didn't know.
Yeah.
Knew how much people could make in this world, which we didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that you don't have to live in London.
Right. Okay, but we'll talk about that another day.
Yeah, well, maybe next episode. That might be quite interesting. Going back to that extraordinary extension.
Yeah,
it was interesting.
It was interesting.
They did this whole basement thing. It was very cute.
Yeah.
Like I said, £5,000 per sheet of glass.
Yeah, all of that. Nice.
So it's not... Yeah.
But how much better do you think he would have come across if he had done a little bit of code switching? If he had tried to make himself seem like he knew more about the industry, use some of the language, maybe was able
but
to describe
you know
things
what?
In a better way. Yeah.
If he did that, me personally, I'd be less interested in the show. But then, if I'd be less interested, would there be more people that would be more interested? However, if that was the case, they would probably just watch Grand Designs. So it's another program for people that don't watch Grand Designs.
This is true.
Surely.
Yeah, people who are turned off by Grand Designs because it's a bit too pretentious.
Because they are a bit too much sometimes. I love Grand Designs.
So do I.
However, I could never see myself in it. Never. Even if I had the plushest... what's that lady's name? The one that lives near me. Is it Norfolk?
Who?
I've got a book. Something Hill.
Oh, Hill House Vintage.
Yes. Oh. She could be on Grand Design. Yeah. If they got some kind of modern extension that was all glass or whatever. Yeah. But, little old me with my colourful house and yellow half
walls. No, you're not going to be on Grand Design, Danny. No. No. It's not a Grand Design. It's beautiful, but it's not Grand Design.
But then Tiny Temper might come around my house and be like, oh, that's quite nice. All right. Okay, not. All right. So what's that BBC programme where they give you 24 hours to change your room?
Oh, God, that thing with Lawrence Llewellyn. No, is he in it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that one that's just come back. It was like 20 years old and it's they've just done it again.
Has it just come back?
Wait, am I thinking?
Maybe I'll call it.
Changing rooms. Is it when your neighbour paints your house?
I'll give you a changing room. Sexy. I'll be on changing rooms where I do not even ask my neighbour to even... All right, we'll go on changing rooms. I'll tell you what to do with my office. We'll give you a little heads up.
Oh,
you
my
do
gosh.
That. We pretend to be a certain way. Maybe we'll do a little code switching because Lawrence...
Yeah, it'll
be fine.
Yeah, okay. All right. We can do changing rooms.
All right. So, even though we've gone off on a tangent and we've gone
massive tangent.
Do you have an example of when you've had to code switch? Do you have to do it at work or not?
No,
I guess we covered that.
Yeah, I don't do it as much. Yeah, we did. We covered it. I mean, I don't think I do it at all right now. I think I'm pretty much able to be myself. And especially because I went and I became self-employed. I freelanced, I contracted. So there was, I just couldn't be bothered putting up a pretense. I just wanted people to buy into me. And I felt I could choose who I worked with a lot more. So that massively helped me working for myself. So I don't feel I code switch. I hope if people know me at work and they know me outside of work, I hope I'm the same person. I would like to think I'm the same person. Yeah.
Okay.
And I really, but I do envy you because I think in your situation, you can only be yourself with the kind of work that you do now. Yeah, content creation. It's like, I am what I am and like, you're buying me. And so like, that's it. Full stop. Which is lovely. It's a massive luxury to be able to go to work and just do you.
Yeah.
So you be grateful, girl.
I'm grateful, but give me the money and I'll be more... give me more money, More money. And I'll be more grateful. Okay, so we are back. We were talking about code switching just before this lovely commercial break.
Mm-hmm.
And now we are in the segment that we started last episode. It was new last episode. What in the world? We still don't have a little jingle, but maybe we will do soon. But in this segment, we're going to talk about, very briefly, Bridgerton, Netflix, See, I'm so excited, See.
Why?
Netflix have confirmed that on January 21st, 2022, that Bridgerton will be back for a second season, babes.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And the only reason I'm mentioning this is not only because I love Bridgerton, I love Netflix. Mm-hmm. And Netflix, come on, man. Me and C can do some kind of show. Come on.
We can work.
Come on.
We can work together.
We book us so C doesn't have to go back to her corporate world. Oh. And I get some decent money. But yes, the guy from Bridgerton, what's his name? Lord
Jean,
Bridgerton,
Jean Page. I don't know if I'm saying that right. I just think that's how you say it, but yeah.
Oh, I'm just gonna go with you.
Yeah.
But he's not British. Did you know that?
Well, I mean he might be British. I think he's probably
As in
Born in England. Like yeah.
How can he be British?
Because he might have British parents, and they so he may still be British. So let's throw him out completely. Yeah.
Okay. I'm just going on. I'm just going on Brexit terms.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
Immigration terms.
Yeah.
I'm going to be that person. Okay. He wasn't born here. He was born, I think, in Zimbabwe.
Yeah. Correct me if I'm wrong. Yeah. I didn't know that. I didn't know that.
But he was saying that when he came over as a teenager, he had to, I guess, code switch to kind of fit in because he felt he was a bit loud. He didn't really fit in. So I guess, I assume he became a bit quieter. He understood the assignment and then the assignment. Mm. And it's funny because I did actually think he was British. Mm. Did you?
I did. But is his accent not like that? I've heard him talking. I'm sure he's got an English accent.
Mm, but then if he came here as a teenager from Zimbabwe and then felt that he had to quieten down and get into certain spaces.
I think as well as that, there's the fact that he's come here from another. So I was trying to think about all the people I know who've come from Africa to here. And
which is a continent, not a country.
Which is a continent. But from the various countries that they've come from to here, they've always been able to manage that code switching really well and assimilate where they need to and switch back to their comfort zones where they need to. And I'm just thinking, what is behind that? Like, is there a reason why they find it less of a problem to do that than people who were born here, like black people who were born here who have to code switch? Like, we think, why should we speak a different way? Why should we have to be put in that position? But they've come from a whole different continent. Maybe they think because they're coming to Britain, because they're coming to England, say, from a different country, they would have to change themselves up anyway. So the fact that they're having to do it is less of a, it's about me being black and having to kind of assimilate into a white environment or white space. It's about me being from a whole different country and a whole different culture and having to move across and assimilate into another culture. So it's more cultural than it is about colour.
That's interesting.
Just thinking about that.
That's interesting. And I guess that makes sense because I guess if you are from another country, you would think more, I guess, first about fitting into the culture of that country rather than, because you were born here, right? I was born here.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, well, we're both British.
Why should we have to change? Like, being British should be enough to get by in Britain.
But it's not.
It's not.
Interesting.
Very interesting.
Do you know what? I would love, I think for some people that don't actually understand this, I would love to have, you know how police have those cameras on them, the body cam? I would love to have a body cam.
Just to record interactions.
Yes.
Recordings.
Yes. Because even in where I live in Colchester, Essex, when I'm walking about, I don't necessarily notice things. Mm. And then when I'm walking with people, they're like, did you not see that person staring at me? Did you not see this? Did you not? And I'm like, no, I'm not looking. Mm. I'm looking ahead and looking for food.
I'm just minding my business.
Or possibly drinks. Yeah. I don't know. It'd be interesting to have a body cam.
Yeah.
All right. So if you could give some advice, we're going to take this segment to words of advice. Don't have a tune for this, a jingle. If you could give advice for people within, our world or whatever, humans, fellow humans, about code switching, what would you say?
So I would say that pretty much you do what you feel you need to do, because who am I to tell you otherwise? But I have realized that there's a certain kind of freedom that comes from just being your authentic self, and I would hope that as many people as possible can feel I would like them to be able to feel the way that it feels to go into any space and be able to represent yourself as in the same way, not have to worry about changing yourself because of your expectations of what other people think you need to be. I wish for everybody that they would be able to get by just being themselves. So I'd say just try it. Even if, like, on the regular, you do fall into the code switch category, maybe give it a go. Like, for a meeting, if you work in a corporate environment, for one meeting, just try and behave the way that you would behave if you were with your friends. Imagine your manager and your colleagues were your friends, and just do that. Just try it out. Because what's the worst that can happen? You're not going to get sacked just by behaving like you. So try it out, see what happens. If nothing happens, then maybe try it out again. And then relax into yourself and just, like, see the gradual change in how you're feeling when you go into the work environment. I'd encourage people to do that. Just try it. What about you?
I like that. Yeah, I think, as I said, as I've gotten older, I am more for just being yourself at the end of the day. I mean, if you're in a position where you don't feel comfortable or you don't feel safe and you feel like you have to act a different way, then, well, no, maybe you don't need to be in that space. That's a sign. Trust your gut. You don't need to be in that space. So why are you trying to fit into the space that you don't need to be in or you don't feel safe? That's my advice. So again, be authentic, be you.
Yeah.
Don't try to conform because of other things. And if you feel that you do need to conform or you don't feel safe to be you, that space isn't for you. Exactly. Babes.
Why is that? Why is that? You've got to think about why that is. Both why you want to be
that
there.
You do belong, even if it's not Tony and Guy. even if it's not Errol Douglas and it's some lady that hasn't turned up on time and you're waiting there to get your weave, like I have, and she turns up with food and you're like, I'm really jealous because I didn't eat and I want your food.
But also you're stinking out my hair.
Your food.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes we just have to do that so we get our hair laid and it's laid to the gods and it just looks better. Rather than someone that's turned up a Tony Guy and has made a mess of your hair.
Or Errol Douglas and just dumps a whole jar of Vaseline on your head.
Well, that's what the black lady did to me as well. What's this with the grease and the Vaseline?
I don't know.
Okay, well, yeah. Well, that's about it for today's show. This must have been the longest show ever. Do you reckon it's because we had wine? I noticed that you had a little bit of a tickle of the red.
Yeah, do you know what? We are recording today at a different time of the day than we usually record. So it is quite late in the evening. I needed a drink tonight. Sarita needed a drink tonight.
I did. It's Friday night, babe.
It is Friday night. So you get what you get. But yeah, that might have something to do with it. But I hope you enjoyed it. We came with our authentic selves. We didn't feel the need to code switch. And we gave you some advice as well on how to make you feel as great as we feel. Yay!
Right. So we will see you next week on Women Who Rebrand. You can catch us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and lots of other
streaming platforms.
Lots of other podcasty platforms that are really cool, I guess. We're on the cool ones.
And if you're not already, please do drop us a follow on Instagram. We're at Women Rebranded. Check
we
us
are.
Out.
We are. And it's a very good page. So yeah, check us out. Yeah. And we will see you next week. Well, you'll hear from us next week.
Yeah, defos. Bye.
Bye.
Women Who Rebrand was brought to you by Sarita Fontaine and Chioma Olaleye. If you like what you've heard and you want to hear us again, don't forget to subscribe or follow wherever you usually catch your podcasts. We're available on
all streaming platforms, including Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Breaker.